In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So we're ending the third part of Luisa and the re-entering the womb of the Celestial Father. And the three parts were done in August, September, and now. And this is the most beautiful part because it's towards the end of Luisa's writings. And when you hear what Jesus is saying, it's actually very astonishing of what God is expecting of us. And the reason we have Our Lady of the Divine Indwelling up here is this is what our Lord is calling all of us to enter into this likeness of God. And it's veiled because this is a mystery. And once this veil is lifted, the kingdom will be established on earth as it is in heaven. So let us begin. Volume 27, 126, 1930. My daughter, all created things, by virtue of my divine will in which they live, perceive when my divine volition wants to manifest a truth that belongs to it. So you have to consider the divine will is not a thing. It's the will of God, and it is alive. So he says, all created things, this is the animals, the vegetables, the minerals, the planets that are, millions of light years away, the microscopic organisms in the ocean, all created things, by virtue of my most holy divine will, in which everything lives, perceive when my divine volition wants to manifest a truth that belongs to it. Okay, so everything becomes attentive. When God said, fiat lux, let there be light, everything came into existence. And at that word of God, everything is anticipating what God wants to do. So everything is alive. Everything is ready. It says, every time my divine will wants to manifest the truth that belongs to the divine will, a knowledge about the divine will, or wants to do one of its works, everything becomes attentive. Everything becomes alive. And this is what Jesus is asking of us. He's asking us to really begin to be aware of the kingdom. Okay, so the more that we do our rounds in creation, the more we do our rounds in redemption, the more we are attentive to what God is doing all around us. And he says, since the most holy divine will that dominates all creation is one, this is participates in that prime act of God, they feel within themselves the communicative, creative, and persevering virtue that wants to operate and make itself known. So everything around us, if we were in the Garden of Eden right now, if we were there, which is still in existence, the animals are still there, everything's still there, we would begin to anticipate what God is doing in all of creation. We would see this, the communicative, the creative, the preserving virtue that wants to operate while we are in its presence, making itself known. And therefore, they, this is all creation, feel as if another sister were added into their midst, and they celebrate the newcomer. So what God is asking of us is to be one with Luisa, is to begin to really participate in a life that Adam knew, a life that Jesus lived, a life that Our Lady lived. Why was Our Lady silent at the foot of the cross? She could have stopped the crucifixion if she wished. She could have stopped that. And yet, she didn't stop it. Why? Because she knew that something glorious was going to happen. Even though that was a great sorrow, a great sadness for her, she was filled with joy and confidence and trust in God. This is what happens with us as we enter into this gift of the divine will. We become filled with a peace, a joy, a happiness that no one can take from you. no matter what you have to go through. And so it says here, as you begin to operate in the divine will, as the divine will operates, it makes itself known, and therefore everything feels as if another sister, another brother, were added in their midst, and they celebrate the newcomer. So when you're doing your acts and your rounds of the divine will, all of heaven is celebrating. All of heaven is rejoicing in the fact that this you are participating in the divine will, participating in that one act of God. And this is what's so glorious. It's not a good or holy or saintly thing. It's not a devotional life. You don't just do it and then you're done, and then you can wait until next year to do the novena again. This is continuous. And as you enter into this life, more and more what happens is you begin to participate in what God says is the communicative, the creative, the persevering virtue of operating and participating in God. So each word that Jesus speaks, that I, Jesus, have spoken to you, Louisa, about my divine will, each word that we read in the Book of Heaven has been a fiat pronounced by us, Triune God. That has come out like a child from the womb of our divine will. So you're beginning to understand why Jesus says every word that he speaks is a divine life. It's coming, it's like a new life out of the womb of God. Well, what does this mean? Jesus spoke the word, basically, as the word of God, fiat lux, let there be light, and all creation existed. Every planet that ever existed is now in existence because of the word of God speaking, fiat lux. When Our Lady said fiat mihi, what happened? God became man. The incarnation took place. I mean, these are powerful words. And that's why when Jesus says, when I hear a soul say fiat, God goes into ecstasy. Why? You're repeating what God did. And so now with the fiat voluntas tua, what's happening here, may your kingdom come and reign in me on earth, this dust on earth as it is in heaven, what happens at that point is we begin to live a life that's just at the very, very beginning. It's to enter into this abundant life of God. This is what God is waiting for. He's waited 6,000 years for this to happen, and now it's happening. It's happening by those souls who are reading the Book of Heaven. And every day as you read, glorious things are happening within you. It's transforming you. This is what Jesus says. He says, when he sees the souls who venerate, who are venerable people, they venerate the book. They venerate the Book of Heaven. What does that mean? Venerate. The priest kisses the altar. He venerates the altar. When Jesus says, when you kiss the cross, he says, I will accept it as you actually kissing me. When you kiss the baby Jesus at Christmas, Jesus says, I accept it as you're actually kissing me. Okay, what's happening here? It's a new beginning that's happening for all of mankind. So he says those that venerate, basically, this Book of Heaven, these words that Jesus spoke, the Word of God spoke, he says God will transform them into light and then divinize them. If that is true, the more that we read, the happier we're going to be. And that's what happens too. As you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, nothing can be the same anymore. Nothing can be the same anymore. Why? Because God is working. He's working in us. He's transforming us into light, and he's divinizing us. So he says, this fiat is the same fiat that is that of creation, that forming its echo makes its vital strength felt there where our divine will resides. So as you learn how to say fiat, is everything that happens to you, and you can say fiat, what's happening? Jesus says that same fiat, that of creation, that of redemption, is sanctification, and it forms its echo, and it makes its vital strength felt there where God's most holy divine will resides. So the more that we can say fiat, and totally surrender to God, totally be submissive to God, letting the Lord be the Lord of our life. There's no more worry. There's no more fear. There's no more anxiety. There's no more complaints. There's no more negativity. There's no more sin, basically. What happens is you become, you have the life of Jesus, peaceful, joyful, and happy. You have the life of Mary, peaceful, joyful, and happy. You begin to live that life of the new Adam and of the new Eve. Glorious things are in store for us. Things that the saints did not know. And as we continue to read, you'll hear it. So he says, it happens when our divine fiat wants to operate, wants to pronounce itself by making itself known, manifesting more of its truths, as to a family when they see that their mother is about to give birth to another little other little children. So here is, there is a joy that's happening. Why? God is the God of the living. And the mistake that happened in 1969, basically, 68, was not listening to Humanae Vitae. Humanae Vitae said, what is human life? And when the theologian said, no, where nobody's going to tell me what to do, God said, fine. And so what's happened? Zero population. You look at it, it's in England, Ireland, it's in Italy, Germany, France, Spain, Israel. Zero population. What does that mean? There's nobody. There's no children. What does that mean? Jesus says to Louisa, then there has to be invasions. There has to be. Because you can't defend yourself anymore. And this is the consequences of saying to Humanae Vitae, no thank you, is okay, then you have to live without children. And therefore, you will be conquered. There's no question. You can't survive. You can't survive. What's coming is going to be very interesting for those who do not want Humanae Vitae. Even have a contraceptive mentality. Priests can have a contraceptive mentality. Bishops can have a contraceptive mentality. And with that, there's no life. See, God is the God of the living. Everything's alive in paradise. There's nothing inanimate. There's nothing dead in paradise. Everything is living abundantly. As a matter of fact, the animals that are in paradise are still there since Adam and Eve left. They're still alive. Adam and Eve have been long dead. See, God wants us to enter into His life, abundant life. And so it says here, the whole family celebrates and it becomes larger. And every time it increases by another little brother or sister, they make feast and delight in the one newly arrived in their midst. Such is the creation. Now this gives you a clue. Since it has come out of the womb of my divine will, all my works form one family and are so bound among themselves that it seems that one cannot live without the other. My holy divine will keeps them so united as to render them inseparable, because they feel that one is the will that dominates them. Life dominates them. The devil wants to destroy everyone and everything. He is living dead. And wherever he goes, he takes possession of persons, places, or things. Yet Jesus knew this, and yet he gives us exercise salt, exercise water. He gives us exercise oil. And every house should have a font, a holy water font in their house to bless themselves, not just once, but every day. When you walk by, bless yourself again. When you walk by, bless yourself again. Why? The battle is raging. And the weapons that God has given us are the sacraments and the sacramentals. And we can use these for our advantage if we understand how important this is. He says, my divine will keeps them so united as to render them inseparable, because they feel that one is the will that dominates them. One will of God, the holy divine will of God, dominates us. With this, there all that there is peace, joy, and happiness. Even in sorrow and sadness, God is going to take care of us. He gives us that trust and confidence in Him. Volume 28, 6, 18, 1930. Then I continued my round in creation. And pray your rounds. You know, pray. Learn to pray your rounds. And this is the way Jesus prayed. This is the way Mary prayed. And everything that's in our rounds books is directly from the volumes. It's not something from a saint. It's exactly what Jesus told Louisa. And this is what we do. We go through our rounds every day. And again, the rounds are long. It's for basically people who are in bed all day. And they, what do I do while I'm dying? What do I do? What do I do? And, well, pray your rounds. Start getting points in heaven, basically. You know, let the Lord know that you understand that these rounds are important. So if you can't pray your rounds, you know, in one day, what I normally do is I put a sticker where I stop, and then I go back to read the following Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday where I left off. And it's your intention. It's not the quantity, it's the quality. And where we adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and worship God and glorify God. And it's the same thing with the calendar. If you're reading the calendar every day, God bless you. Within 1 year, you have read basically all 36 volumes. And that means that Jesus is transforming you into light. He's getting ready to divinize you. And that's what the priest says every day at Holy Mass when he puts a drop of water in the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ. That's what's coming. It's not just to be good. Nobody can get to heaven by being good. I told that to the kids last year. I said, you can't get to heaven by being good. And they went, what? It's to be holy, to enter into the life of God. That's how you get into heaven. It's being good. Again, we hear that in homilies. He was a good man. You have to be holy. You have to be saintly. You have to be free of sin, free of all that is keeping you. One venial sin can keep you out of heaven. And that's why purgatory is for most of us, except for the souls who are fully living in the divine will. And that's what we're striving for. We're striving to be fully in the divine will. And so God has given us a lot. He's given us the Book of Heaven, the Hours of the Passion, the Virgin Mary. He's given us so many things that we've gone through, like the Prodigies of Our Lady, the You Must Know book, the Be Attentive book. As you go through this, you're learning more and more. So she says, I continue my round in creation, and as I arrived at Eden, so you can go to Eden. And if you haven't gone there yet, go to Eden. I mean, really. Enter into this life. There's no time or space. You can do exactly what Louisa did. As I arrived at Eden, I followed what God did in the creation of Adam. And my beloved Jesus told me, my daughter, as you arrive at this point of the creation of Adam, we, triune God, feel wounded. We, triune God, have present the moving scene of how Adam was created by us, triune God. Our divine love swells, it overflows, it runs to find Adam as he was created by us. See, God wants us to see this. He wants us to experience this. So again, this isn't a pious thought. This is a reality that takes place for all those who want to live in the divine will. Our love becomes delirious, and it is a delirium. It wants to embrace Adam, to clasp Adam to our divine womb, beautiful and holy, just as he came out of our created hands, but not finding Adam as God originally planned. Our love changes into delirium and sorrowful love and longs for he whom it so much loves. Now, you must know, now this is a command from Jesus, you must know this, that our divine love in creating Adam was so great that as soon as he was created, Adam was placed by us within our divine enclosures, and we, triune God, gave Adam, as little Adam, the human will immersed in the immensity of the divine will. Therefore, it was natural for Adam that, being a little Adam, he would have to live of divine will. See, he participated in all that God has done. Adam is the ultimate gift. And it's not by chance that atom is the same, almost the same as Adam. Why? Because God wants us to be little. He wants us to be insignificant. He wants us to be hidden. He wants us to be submissive to him. if we are not submissive to the Lord and we think that we're pretty important, we're pretty good, we go to hell. You have to be little, as Father Bucci said. We have to be little and insignificant and hidden to live in the divine will. So what do? You go to your room, you close the door, and you pray. You read, you study, you put this into practice. You come in communion with Jesus. You become one with Him in His most holy divine will. So Jesus is showing us this. Therefore, it was natural for Adam that being a little Adam, he would have to live of divine will. So this is, it's important for us to understand. You know, you have Hollywood, you have politics, you have educational systems where you have to be something, you have to be important. That's not for us. For us is to be little, insignificant, and hidden. For us it's to genuflect in front of the Lord. He is our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. We want Him and Him alone. And when we do this, how glorious is this? Our divinity, Jesus says, said to Adam, we give you our divine will at your disposal so that the little Adam of yours may feel the need to live of the divine will's immensity, to grow with the divine will's sanctity, to embellish itself with its divine will's beauty, to make use of the divine will light. See, it's to be of God, within, through, and for God. See, it's not to be separated from God any longer. He's asking us to enter into His divinity. He says very clearly, seeing yourself little, you shall feel happy to live within the enclosures of our divine fiat, so as to live of our divine qualities, not human qualities, divine qualities. Right now, Hollywood, it's human qualities, which are meaningless. Education, human qualities, which are meaningless. You know, even the politicians, you know, you have to be good at lying to be a politician. I mean, it's true. Our job is to enter into the life of God, to participate in God. That's why when we go to Holy Communion every day, how glorious is this? May your kingdom come, may your will be done in me on earth as it is in heaven. And what happens at that point? God has a place to dwell. He enters into the holy of holies of our soul, where we can adore Him and love Him and praise Him and thank Him and bless Him and worship Him. This is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to enter into this abundant life, to participate in God's divine qualities. And we delighted in seeing this little Adam of the human will live within our divine intermittable enclosures, our divine care, our divine gaze, growing divinely beautiful and divinely graceful of rare divine beauty, such as to enrapture us triune God and to let us triune God find our delight in that soul. That's what God wants to do with us. He says, I've waited 6,000 years to do this. And now it's begun. It's begun for those who read. It's begun for those who have continued to say to God, I want to enter into this abundant life. I want to possess your divine qualities. And God goes, good. That's why I created you. Not to be good, but to share in divinity. Do you see how spectacular this is? This is what God is calling us to. Volume 28, 10, 18, 19, 30. My daughter of my volition, all the value of the acts of my celestial Mama Mary was because they came out of the immense divine womb of my divine will, whose kingdom, whose life Our Lady possessed. This was not one motion, one act, one breath, one heartbeat that was not full of supreme volition up and overflowing outside. Her loving kisses that Our Lady gave me came out from the font of the divine will. Her chaste embraces, which she embraced my infantile humanity, contained the divine immensity. Why did God come to earth? Because Our Lady possessed the divine will. He wouldn't have come to earth if she didn't possess it. So she, the new Eve, Jesus, the new Adam, come to earth. Why? To give back the universal life, the Catholic life that Adam lost. To go back to begin to live this abundant life. In her most pure milk, with which she nourished me, I suckled from her virginal breast. I suckled from the immense breast of divine breast of my Fia. See, she was one with God. In that milk, I suckled its infinite joys, its ineffable sweetnesses, the food, the substance, the infantile growth of my holy humanity, from the immense abyss of my most holy divine will that Our Lady possessed. You see who see how great she is? She is our mother. She is our queen. How glorious she is. And that's why we want to make sure that she's crowned and she's venerated and that she's recognized. She's our mother. She's our queen. And even August 15th, it's the day Jesus says that we are going to be like her. We're going to go to heaven. We're going to share in the divinity. And she's asking us to begin to do that now with this great gift of the divine will. How do you share in divinity? You say to Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. You know, walk in my walking, dance in my dancing, sing in my singing. Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. So in her kisses, Jesus says, I felt the eternal kiss of my most holy divine will, that when it does an act, never ceases doing it. Our Lady's embraces, I felt a divine immensity of embracing me. And then her milk, I nourished myself divinely and humanly. And Our Lady gave me back my celestial joys and the contentments of my most holy divine will that kept her all filled. So God wants us to enter into this life. That's why the prodigies of Our Lady are so beautiful. The Virgin Mary and the Kingdom. Read them, study them. Enter into this gift with the Blessed Mother. If the Sovereign Queen had not had the divine will in her power, I, Jesus, would not have contented myself with her kisses, with her love, with her embraces, and with her milk. At the most, my holy humanity would have been content, but my divinity? I, the Word of the Father, who had the infinite, the immensity in my divine power, wanted infinite kisses, immense embraces, milk full of divine joy, full of divine sweetnesses. And only in this way was I, God, satisfied, as my Mama Mary, possessing my divine will, could give me divine kisses, divine embraces, divine love, and all of her acts that gave of the infinite. That's Mary. And that's why we go to the Blessed Mother. That's why we pray the Holy Rosary every day. We want to participate in this life that Jesus possessed, that Mary possessed, the new Adam and the new Eve. And the only one who did this fully, the only one at this point, is Luisa Picaretta. That's why we link ourselves to Luisa, to begin to possess the divine life of Jesus and the divine life of Mary. Now, you must know, here's another command from Jesus, that all the acts that are done in my most holy divine will are inseparable from it. It can be said that they form one single thing, an act and will, the will can be called light, the act heat, and they are inseparable from each other. So here is this image of the sun, heat and light, inseparable from each other. So all those who shall possess my fiat as life, this is the reason why we constantly say fiat, to remind ourselves that this is what God is calling us to, shall have in their power all the acts of my celestial mother. And the Blessed Mother had in her power all of their acts in such a way that in her kisses, her embraces, I, Jesus, felt myself kissed and embraced by everyone, past, present, and future. those, especially those who were to live in my most holy divine will. And in them, I felt myself being kissed again and again and embraced by my Mama Mary. Everything is in common and in perfect accord with my most holy divine will. Each human act that descends from its womb, and with its divine power, it makes it rise back to the center from which it came out. So we're returning to the womb, the center of the Father, the womb of the Father. Therefore, be attentive. And for us, be attentive means read, study this, put this into practice. Don't slow down. Let nothing escape you. Let not one word that Jesus spoke to Louisa escape you that does not enter into my divine will. If you want to give me everything, and if you want to receive everything. So our response is, you know, we breathe in, we breathe out. Jesus breathes into us the Ruach of God, the breath of God. We breathe out back to God, His divine will back to Him. We say, you gave me this, I give this back to you. You give me this, I give this back to you. It's like the waves on the shore. It's the morning and the evening sun. It's continuous. It's constantly saying to Jesus, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. It's to get into that life of God, that love of God. Volume 29, 7-2, 1931. My daughter, my divine will, how pleasing to me is the soul who enters into my most holy divine will to find in the divine will all of my divine works. And flying from one created thing to another with her little capacity, she makes her calculations to find out what she does of love, of goodness, of power, of beauty, and more. So here we begin to understand that our life isn't to do things here on earth, but to give God all the glory, all the praise, all the love that He, as God, so rightly deserves. So what does that mean? That means you don't do anything here? No. When you wash the dishes, Jesus, I adore you and I praise you and I love you and I bless you. And for every bubble that's in the sink, I praise you and glorify you in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. When you sweep the floor, I adore you and I love you and I praise you and I thank you for every speck of dirt. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, I love you and I praise you. Do you see what's happening? You're entering into that life of God. You're everything that you think, everything that you say, everything that you do is to enter into the love, goodness, power, and beauty, and more I placed in each created thing. And since for the one who is in my most holy divine will, what is mine is hers. The sun belongs to you. The moon belongs to you. The stars belong to you. The oceans belong to you. The air belongs to you. I mean, think about it. When somebody says, can I have a cup of water? You give them a cup of water. When we say to God, I'd like something to drink, He gives us oceans and rivers. I mean, it's infinite. He can't stop giving. When you want to breathe, God gives you not just your breath, but He gives us oxygen all around us. See, God is gratuitous. He's constantly giving. He says very clearly, what is mine is hers. She embraces them all. She brings them back into my divine womb and around me as a requital of her, I love you. And I, God, feel being renewed, return to me the love which we issued in creation and the whole creation. Listen to that. Everything is being returned back to God. Everything. The power, the beauty with which we strewed all of creation. When you look at the stars at night, Lord, thank you. And I give them back to you. You can give back to God what is God's. And Jesus says, good. You're learning. You're learning how to be like me. And in our divine, in our emphasis of love, we say, the daughter of our will returns to us our works, our love, our goodness, and more. And while she returns them to us, she leaves them at their place. I give this back to you, Lord. You are my Lord, my Savior, my Master. I love you, I love you, I love you. And we, Triune God, feel being repeated to us the divine glory, the divine happiness, as if we were again putting out the whole of creation. We give back to God what is God's. We're to be in God's image and likeness. The likeness of God is to do what God does. And he's teaching us how to do this. Volume 30, 12:25, 1931. My daughter, come into this divine light where I want you there. I, God, want you in this divine light. What is the divine light? He's transforming us into light. In the virtue of my divine light, its motion, the fire as life, does nothing other than unleash souls, that is, the life of the creatures, from within its womb of divine light. Its power is so great that it moves, it admits souls, that I, God, I want my beloved together with me in the womb of my divine light, that is, of my most holy divine will. As souls are formed and admitted outside, I do not want to be alone, but I want your company, that you Louisa, may recognize the great portent of the creation of souls, our excessive love. And since I want you, Louisa, in my will, I want to deposit them in you and trust them to you, not leaving them alone while they journey as pilgrims through the earth, but having someone together with me who would protect them and defend them for me. Who is Jesus giving Louisa? He's giving us to Louisa. He says very clearly, I entrust these souls to you, Louisa. He says very clearly, I don't want them left alone while they journey as pilgrims through the earth, but I want them to have someone together with me. Who is our connection to Jesus and Mary? It is Louisa. Go to Louisa, pray to Louisa, plead with Louisa. You know, if you have someone sick, put the relic of Louisa on them. Ask the priest to touch the relic of Louisa on the person after the priest anoints them. You have to understand the miracles that are going to come through Louisa are not ordinary and they're not few. It's going to be constant and continuous. It's what God has planned is for the whole world to know Louisa Picaretta. And by some mystery, God has let us know her. And thank you, Jesus, for this. He says, and again, we will be protected by Louisa and defended by Louisa. Wait till you see, you know, what's coming. You know, what's coming is, you hear people say, you know, doom and gloom. And that's coming, yes. But the people that have to go through that are the souls not linked to Louisa. The souls that are linked to Louisa, Jesus says four things. He says, number one, a great catastrophe is coming. Great chastisement is coming. And the large majority of humanity will be gone because of it. He says, number three, that was number four. Number three, he says, my mother is marking all my children. And no harm can come to them. Number two, he says, those that are marked by the Blessed Mother, the chastisement will have little or no effect. And then he says, number one, the survivors of this great chastisement will be the little children of the Holy Divine Will. Just yesterday we heard at Scripture, at Mass, it will happen like in the time of Noah. There will be one family that will go through this. Noah had a clean line to Adam and Eve. There was no interbreeding of the Nephilim, whatever that means, when you read Genesis 6. With Louisa, we have a straight line to Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. No harm can come to us. You have to understand this. God, why? Once this chastisement happens, the new era begins. What's the new era? The kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's for us. That's why we're studying this. We're getting ready for what's coming. And Jesus says you don't have to wait until you die. Begin to live it now. And that's what he's teaching us. Volume 30, 1:12, 1932. My divine will with its divine power forms the sweet chains that identifies and transforms God and the creatures in such a way that God feels redone in the creature and this creature feels redone in God. It's a complete restoration. Oh, my divine will, how admirable and powerful you are. Extend your sweet chains and bind God and creatures so that everyone may return back into God's most holy divine will. Volume 30, 124-32. Blessed daughter, our way in the creature never changes. And just as it had its beginning of manifesting itself in creation, so it does continue and shall always, always continue. Now, this is God is asking us to re-enter into this abundant life that's always continuing. There's no death in this life. Now, the one who enters into our holy divine will touches with his own hand our creating act, always in act, and our divine love ever new, in act of giving itself to the creature. But it is not only our divine love. In fact, our great love makes us unleash from our womb and puts on the way upon them a new divine goodness, a new divine power, a new divine sanctity, a new divine beauties in such a way that we, Triune God, keep the creature under the reign of our new divine acts, always new and always in act. That's God. We're entering into this abundant life that God has planned. And when you see new, put the word God there, upon new God's goodness, God's power, God's sanctity, God's beauty, reigns of God's acts. Always God, always in act. See, we are made in God's image and likeness. What comes out of that dust, when God breathed into that dust, was the image and likeness of God. And that's what God wants to see in us, the image and likeness of divinity. That doesn't mean we become gods. Image and likeness we have to become. And that's what God's waiting for. So it's not something that's good or holy or saintly. It's divine. It really is. Volume 30, 2:10-1932. So the one who unites herself with the acts of our divine will gives us, Triune God, the occasion to let us, Triune God, work. But to do what? It is to form our divine life with our divine works in that person. Do you see what God's waiting for? He wants to form his divine life, his divine works in us. Then he says, you must know, another command from Jesus, you must know that the soul, by elevating herself in our divine will, leaves everything and reduces herself to her nothingness. Good. It's to let God reign. This nothingness recognizes its creator, and the creator recognized this nothingness that came out to light. Out of the nothing, cluttered with things that do not belong to God. No. And finding it nothing, God fills this nothing with the all. Here is what it means to live of my divine will. To unclutter oneself with everything. That's what do we unclutter ourselves with? No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. To unclutter oneself of everything and extra light to fly back to the womb of the Celestial Father so that this nothing may receive the life of God who created it. Do you see what God's doing? Volume 30, 2:16-1932. Good daughter, if you knew what void is formed in the act of the creature when it is not filled completely with my most holy divine will, such that it can act, that act lacks the fullness of divine sanctity, it lacks the fullness of the infinite, and since the infinite is missing, the abyss of emptiness appears, which only the infinite could fill. In fact, the creature, with all of her acts, was made for the infinite. And when my divine will runs within her acts, the divine will places the infinite in all those acts. And then her acts appears to be full of light, kept by my most holy divine will in the womb of light, and with the infinite inside that renders it a full, a fulfilled act of God. Do you see what's coming? It's a new era that's beginning. And it begins now for those that read. It begins now for those who study. So I'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.